Welcome to the September 8th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Today, our service is led by our settled minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, assisted by Worship Associate Jim Kern. The title of Rev. Pam's sermon is Figments of Our Expectations.
Now we have a special treat of music.
You all may know this song, and if you feel like singing along, you're welcome. I won't stop you. Extra points if you can do the harmonies, because, you know, just wanted me up here. Okay. You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by. And so, become yourselves, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picks, the one you'll know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. And you of tender years can know the fears that your elders grew by. And so please help them with your youth. They seek the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, the children's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picks, the one you'll know by. Come on now. Teach your children well, the children's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one that picks, the one you'll know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Our reading this morning is titled Dumping, and it comes from Steve Garness Holmes. And I'm going to give you a little warning here. Pastor Steve uses the G word. Rhymes with sod. Some of us are totally comfortable with that, and some of us, not so much. So, you know, if you got to do a little mental gymnastics so that you don't get lost in that and think universe, Mother Earth, collective consciousness, whatever works for you. But fair warning. Okay. It's in the form of a letter. Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you. I see things the way I want to. Everybody is a figment of my expectations. If I don't understand it, it's not real. Or worse, I believe if I try hard enough, I can make things the way I want them to be. I control life. I am responsible for how other people feel. How they feel determines who I am. If I don't like something, I'll keep thinking about it the way I wish it were. I need to understand. God or life owes me something, or has it in for me for some reason. I will prove myself to be who I truly am, what I think is real. Everything else is almost. I know what I like, and it matters. I live by what I understand. This is the garbage that I take to the dump. To God, my sweet meadowy landfill. Over and over, I have to take out the trash. I drop my burden to be with the one, in this moment, as it is, as I am, as God is. Weather report. Shedding with considerable release at higher altitudes, as throughout the day, reality shows a high disregard for what you think. There will be significant clearing as the sun burns off the upper layer of judgment. Deep blessings, Pastor Steve.
Everybody is a figment of my expectations. That line is the little kernel that grew into this service. The phrase resonated with me in part because of the saying, a figment of one's imagination, which was coined by Charlotte Bronte in her novel, Jane Eyre. Someone knew that. I did not know that. I like it when someone plays off a common phrase or saying because it helps me think about it in a new way. This phrase sparked a new way of thinking about expectations. When I think of where my expectations come from, I think about my past experience. I expect the sun to rise every day, because every day of my life, the sun has risen. Oh, the sun has risen has a little different meaning. I didn't think about that. I expect that if I stay up too late, I'll feel tired in the morning, because I've done that way too often. Don't ask me what time I went to bed last night. I expect to get into an argument with some members of my family if we talk about politics, because nearly every time the subject comes up, we argue. And because my expectations are based on experience, things that have actually happened, I can think of them as valid and reliable, as real, as true. But if everybody is a figment of my expectations, that turns the notion on its head. Because a figment is not something that is objectively real, that's out there. A figment is a thing that someone believes to be real, but that exists only in their imagination. A figment of your imagination is redundant. Figment is an imaginative. So, people are something I believe to be real, but they only exist in my expectations. Does that make sense? I had to find out the context of that just short quotation because that idea was a little too out there for me, which is how I found the reading that Jim just shared. It's an entry in a daily blog called Unfolding Light. Isn't that a great name? Unfolding Light. And it's written by Steve Garness Holmes, a United Methodist pastor. And as I read the reading, I recognized myself in so much of what he wrote. And I realized that our expectations, our strong belief that something will happen or be true in the future, has a lot to do with our need to feel secure. and in control. He writes, I see things the way I want to. Everybody is a figment of my expectations. If I don't understand it, it's not real. Or worse, I believe if I try hard enough, I can make things the way they want, the way I want them to be. I control my life. That's the hope, anyway, that we are in control of our lives, that we can, with enough effort, make things and people and ourselves be the way we want them to be, the way we understand them to be, the way we expect them to be. Let's start with the expectations we have for ourselves. Last month, we explored the sources of our self-regard and talked about how our parents and siblings, our teachers and friends are the first significant influence on how we see ourselves. So when Jim suggested the song, Teach Your Children, for the blessing of the backpacks, it just seemed perfect. Because the expectations of our parents set the stage for what we expect from ourselves. As I look back on my own childhood and the expectations my parents set for me, I can see the ways that their expectations helped me achieve so much of what I have in my life, but they also set me up for disappointments. And their expectations of me were often reflections of their expectations for themselves, right? Which in turn started with their parents, and so on and so on, our inheritance. Both my parents were perfectionists, which was a good thing for the things that they did in their lives. My father was a veterinarian, and he did a lot of surgery. You want someone who's a perfectionist doing surgery. And my mother was a wonderful cook and seamstress. And I remember watching Mom pin the patterns onto the fabric and cut each piece so carefully. And the seams she finished were finished on the inside, not just the outside. No one could see them. I didn't know that that was not the way to do it until I had a roommate in graduate school who used to sew as a stress reliever during finals. And she sewed so haphazardly, so differently from my mom. She tried to teach me how to sew. I made a robe. I still have it. And we went to the fabric store, bought the fabric and the pattern, and then we went back to, we were house-sitting for our parents, and I was carefully pinning the pattern onto the fabric. And I didn't realize it until afterwards. She told me, I had to go upstairs. I couldn't watch you do that. I've sewn 2 pieces of clothing and 1 pillow in my life. Now, my sisters and I were the beneficiaries of my mom's perfection. We had beautiful clothes, and she made the most beautiful Halloween costumes. But we also inherited the dark side of her perfectionism, the feelings of failure and disappointment when what we did or made wasn't perfect. And the reluctance to try something challenging or new because we might not do it perfectly the first time. It has taken me decades to unlearn those early lessons, to cut myself some slack when I don't do something perfectly, and to learn to risk making mistakes by trying something new and different. But our parents can also teach us to have low expectations for ourselves. I think of people whose parents were dismissive of their talents and skills, telling them that they shouldn't aim so high, that they should be realistic. As much as I might complain about my parents setting expectations that felt too high to me, when I got B's They said, "Why aren't you getting A's?" I imagine how much harder it might have been if they didn't seem to have any faith at all in my abilities. Does that resonate for anyone? Can you think of the expectations that your parents set for you? The ones that helped you achieve. The ones that made you feel like you were not enough. Teach your children well. That is so unbelievably hard. In part because of that delicate balance of expectations, to make them high enough so that your children might rise to meet them, but not so high as to set them up for disappointment. How do you achieve that balance? I was a teacher in a high school, a prep school in Massachusetts for 1 year, and I had an advisee who gave me a mug that said on one side, "Do you want to know how to be proud of me always?" And on the other side, it said, "Lower your expectations." But when I think about the words of the song that Jim led us in, I think perhaps part of the answer is feed them on your dreams. The ones they pick is the one you'll know by. Feed them your dreams, your greatest hopes and aspirations, but let them pick their own to follow. That's how you'll really know who they are, and not just the figment of your expectations. The difficulty of parenting, of teaching your children well, is acknowledged. The line, "And you of tender years can't know the fears that your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth." That seems pretty generous for a song written during the 60s, when the term generation gap was first coined. Graham Nash was in his 20s when he wrote that. I'm glad to know that he acknowledged that his parents had fears that they grew by. And the song also acknowledges that both the parents' and children's hell will slowly go by. According to one source, Graham Nash was referring to his own father's stint in prison. But I'm guessing those of us who have lived through our own or our children's adolescent years have some idea about how hard it can be and that it will finally go by. But even if we get past those growing up times, as children and as parents, as adults, we can still fall into the trap of letting our beliefs and expectations get in our way, especially in our relationships with other people. As Pastor Steve puts it in the reading, "I am responsible for how other people feel, and how they feel determines who I am." Does that resonate for anyone? Have you ever been in a relationship with a friend, a family member, a partner, a child, that was close enough that when they were in a bad mood, or a good mood for that matter, that you took responsibility for it? Yeah? I had a roommate in graduate school who is still my best friend in the world. And she was going through a pretty moody time in graduate school. And I would spend a lot of emotional energy wondering what I had done or had said that had put her in that mood. Because if she were sad or depressed, it meant that I had done something wrong. It meant that I wasn't a good roommate or a good friend. And it took me a long time to finally realize that her mood usually had nothing to do with me. We expect that what we do and say will make a difference, especially for the people in our lives for whom we care the most. And our actions and words do have an impact, but not as often or as much as we'd like. We want to be in control, to protect our loved ones from sadness, frustration, harm, and pain. That's what the loving kindness, the metta meditation we sang, is all about. May I, may you, may all be safe, be well, know joy, and be free from suffering. We can send out those wishes, but we cannot make it so, as much as we might try. The reading continues. If I don't like something, I will keep thinking about the way I wish it were. I need to understand. Victoria, that resonates, doesn't it? As we work our way through the reading, it's sounding pretty Buddhist, isn't it? With its emphasis on how our expectation is that things will be the way we wish they were rather than the way they are. That's the cause of suffering, after all. Is it pronounced dukkha? Otherwise translated as anxiety, distress, frustration, unease, unsatisfactoriness. Our attachment to what we wish to be, to what we expect, instead of the way things are. But when we get to the part that Jim warned you of before he started reading, he gave you the trigger warning, the G word. God or life owes me something, or has it in for me for some reason. God or life. That's the little bit of translation Pastor Steve provides. And for him, I'm guessing it doesn't matter what you think of in terms of God or life or the universe or any number of other ways of perceiving and understanding whatever it is out there or in here that holds our expectations of how life should be. Because he describes his blog this way. He writes, "Unfolding light is a daily reflection rooted in a contemplative, creation-centered spirituality, often inspired by my daily walk in the woods. In poems, parables, psalms, thoughts, and the odd weather report, I hope to invite readers into a spirit of presence, compassion, justice, and delight." He goes on, "Though these writings are rooted in the Christian story, you'll hear in them melodies of many traditions. Unfolding light is for anyone who wants to be a part of God's healing of the world." I'm so glad I found this blog. I hear the melody of Buddhism in this reading. You may hear another melody for a tradition that you follow, perhaps Unitarian Universalism. After reeling off a litany of ways of thinking about the world, of how it should be, of how he should be in the world, of what he can control, of all the figments of his expectations, Pastor Steve explains that this is the garbage that I take to the dump. To God, my sweet meadowy landfill. Over and over, I have to take out the trash. I drop my burden to be with the one in this moment, as it is, as I am, as God is. There's that word again. The G word, God. I know that for some of us, that word is not a sticking point at all. Some of us went away from that word and came back to it in a different way. But for others, it is a sticking point. And Jim and I spent a fair amount of time discussing whether we should use the entire reading or just end it before it got to the G word. To avoid taking some of us down an off-ramp that would render the reading meaningless. But then we decided to go for it. No perfectionists here. And to share all of the words and not just some of them. Because for this author, that sweet, meadowy landfill is important. We could slide over that part of the reading and say, it's not important where you dump those unhelpful thoughts, the ones that tell us that the world has to conform to our expectations, that we can and should expect to be able to exert all kinds of control over situation, people, and ourselves. But I wonder, does it matter where we dump those unhelpful expectations? As Unitarian Universalists, many of us listen for the melody of humanism, whether rejecting belief in some conception of God or not. I recently found in the UU world that many early humanists had no problem with the idea of God. It just wasn't central to their theology. Theology, God, I know. As Unitarian Universalists, and we listen for that melody of humanism, and this melody proposes that humankind has the power and the responsibility to right wrongs, to do justice, and to create heaven on earth. But I wonder what our meadowy landfill, you can tell I love that phrase, I wonder what that meadowy landfill might be for us. Where do we take out the trash over and over? When we drop the burden of our expectations, does it matter whether or not we are dropping that burden to be with the one, God, life, the universe? To be in this moment as it is, as I am, as God is. This moment, as it is, as I am, as God is, are those three things, the moment, I, God, are they all part of the same thing? The real thing, not a figment of our expectations, but what is really real, free of the figments of our expectation, pure and real. On a practical level, that may not mean anything, but as we explore what it means to be a people of expectation, I'm mindful that what we expect from ourselves, from each other, and from the world, can keep us from being present to what really is. The expectations can keep us yearning for a kind of control that we simply do not have over ourselves, over each other, and over the world. So what might it mean if we deliberately and often dump those figments of expectations into a meadowy landfill or not? Which leads to the odd weather report, which ends Pastor Steve's blog. You read it really well. I hope I can do it as well. Shedding, with considerable release at higher altitudes, as throughout the day, reality shows a high disregard for what you think. There will be significant clearing as the sun burns off the upper layer of judgment. As we consider what it means to be a people of expectation, it will be interesting to see whether this weather forecast holds true. Not that weather forecast has been in the news much lately. Will we keep bumping into a reality that shows a high disregard for what we think? As we explore our expectations of ourselves, of each other, and of the world, will the sun burn off the upper layer of judgment? Because that's what expectations are, aren't they? A judgment not of what is, but what should be. Not what's necessarily really real, but only figments of our expectations. While we may not be able to get away from having expectations, the ones that we rise to and the ones that hold us back, we can recognize them. And awareness brings choice. We can hold on to them, or we can dump them in the meadowy landfill of our choosing, again and again and again. Wishing you a day that helps burn off that upper layer of judgment. Deep blessings, Pastor Pam.